How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on? You're listening to the Frotcast. We're coming at you not live from a series of Frot quarters. I'm Vince Mancini. I am joined, as always, you know him, you love him. He's the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
Here in my car. I actually don't know this song. I don't know. I was going to start with a parody of that song. I realize I don't know it.
But you can just do the cadence. Da, 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 da,
da, da, da, I'm loving my da, butt, and I'm making my nuts, and I'm sucking. Well, hey, what's up, everyone? I'm here.
Dude, this is such a low energy intro.
I don't mean to be low energy. I have had the worst 24 hours of my life.
Oh, and, no.
Well, that sound,
I mean,
okay,
oh, good. That sounds like pod content.
Yeah, that sounded worse than I meant it to, but I'm so excited to be here.
So and dramatic. Oh, my God. I've had the worst 24
I'm literally
hours.
Going to kill myself. So, yeah, I am excited to be here. I didn't mean to be low energy. I'm high energy. I'm excited. I got to lose a little weight. Everything's fine. And, yeah, but let's introduce our guest. And just, you know, plow forward into
Brendan
the future.
Brendan is gone this week. He has to pick up his 7 kids from various camps and petting zoos, I think. But in his place, from the assigned newsletter and the Shutdown Fullcast podcast, we got Ryan Nanny.
Today has been the, let's say the 1,578th worst 24 hours of my life.
Damn, that's...
I'm just throwing a number out.
How many days are there in life?
I mean, nobody knows that.
Nobody knows that.
You would really be able to do some damage if you could say this is how many days you get.
Oh, that would be so sick. I wish I could go around telling people how many days they have left. Just so I could say your days are numbered and like mean it.
Isn't there a terrible Justin Timberlake movie about that premise?
There is. There actually is.
Okay.
I was not even aware of its existence until someone started sharing clips of it on like Instagram.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? And it was like people like trading like life minutes as like currency.
Yeah, that sounds right. What terrible.
Yeah, it was a weird thing because I was like, "This, wow, this is stupid." And then I was also like, but I want to know what happened. So.
See, it reminded me of like the Trump story. Like, I think it came out a few years ago that the reason he doesn't exercise is because he has a belief that you have like so many calories like in a lifetime. And if and when you burn them, like it shortens your lifespan.
Like your body is a car.
Yeah.
However many miles you put on it is just like put more mileage on it.
No, he's like, I'm keeping this in the garage.
I mean, he's not that wrong, you know, like. This is my thing about muscles. Like, I don't do anything strenuous because I'm saving my strength. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
You got to
totally
save your strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. In case you have to, like,
when
lift
I really
a
need it.
Crashed helicopter off of
yes,
your daughter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I got to lift the tractor off my father.
Bite a bear off or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Good thing I saved my strength and then I beat up the bear.
You always hear about those idiots who go to the gym who can't do any of that shit.
Right.
Because they wasted all their strength.
They're too tired from the gym to beat up the bear. Meanwhile,
right.
I have just been sitting
fresh,
waiting for the
fresh
bear.
Fresh legs. That's right.
Fresh legs for the bear. People don't get it. Me and Trump are gonna live forever.
Ryan, you didn't get to go to Mongolia with Spencer, did you?
No, I'm not gonna do that. Like I would travel to Mongolia, and I would travel with Spencer in very specific circumstances. I am not ready to travel internationally with Spencer Hall. I just don't have that. I don't have that that disposition, let's say.
Is it just like too much beard dust that you think would get on you?
It would 100% it would be that. And like when he was getting ready for that trip, he showed us his itinerary because they went through like an agency or whatever. One of the things on the itinerary said night with wrestlers. And I asked him what is night with wrestlers? And he said, I don't know. And I mean, I'm the kind of person who, if I'm going to travel with you and we have night with wrestlers on the agenda, I need just a little more information than that. He doesn't. He doesn't need that.
No, I'm kind of with Spencer. I like to be surprised. Like, oh, night wrestling. Let's do it. See what happens.
I don't know. I'm stuck in between because on the one hand, I would love to know what that means beforehand. On the other hand, I'd love to find out in the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm just living too scared. Who's to say?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, listen, I would love to go to Mongolia just for the barbecue. I assume Mongolia still does Mongolian barbecue.
Yeah, that's probably the main reason people are there. Yeah.
Oh, I would in a second. I would go there. I would eat the barbecue. I would listen to the throat singing. I would have the time of my fucking life.
And then you'd night wrestle.
And I would night wrestle. Now I know about night wrestling. Mongolia is filled with cool shit.
Yeah.
I would love to go there.
Spencer posted a shirt, which I assume isn't real, but I want it to be real, which was I'm not the step nomad. I'm the nomad who stepped up. And like, I haven't stopped thinking about it since.
I mean, it's 2024 and digital commerce means that shirt is real if you want it to be.
That's true.
You know?
True. Yeah. Like, yeah.
That is the funniest shirt ever. I'm the nomad who stepped up. I want that fucking shirt. Fuck.
You guys are both traveling. Matt, I want to hear about your, like, why this was like literally the worst day.
Let me tell you.
Like, we were talking for like 15 minutes before this, and he wouldn't tell me he was saving it for the pod. So
I mean,
he's built it up a lot now.
Overhyped it for you, Vince, and now I think I've sufficiently overhyped it for the audience. It's not that bad, but it was just a harrowing experience for me. So I drove up to San Francisco. I'm in.
You said harrowing, right? Like, we're not.
No, it's not heroin.
It's a heroin ring experience.
Yeah, it's not a heroin.
You're relapsing.
No, there's no relapse. Everything is fine except for my monies. So I'm doing the San Francisco punchline, and instead of flying, I drove up because, you know, I was like, hey, you know, the flights have, you know, fucked up because of the Microsoft thing or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So about an hour into the drive. And keep in mind, there's a heat dome going on, so it's like fucking 100 degrees everywhere.
Oh, is it hot? I hadn't heard.
Yeah, you're in Fresno, so it's even worse for you. You're like, you might as well be in fucking Doha, Qatar. Like, your shit is so hot, I can't even imagine why people would continue to live there. But it's still pretty fucking hot in like normal land, right? L.A. is way hot. The 5 is way hot. I'm going up the Grapevine, and all of a sudden my fucking air conditioning goes out in my car, and it's a Civic, and it's 100 degrees. And so I am driving through the 5 with all my windows down in 100 degree heat.
And that's just like being in a convection oven at that point. It's like you're not just baking, you're air frying.
I'm going to air fry myself. That's
dude,
right.
Straight up, I was like occasionally touching my face, and I was like, am I peeling? What is happening? Like, I felt like I was breaded. It was insane.
Yeah. Oh, I don't even turn my car off when I'm picking my kid up at the daycare.
Right.
In this weather. Like, I keep it on to,
like a UPS driver. It's just the safe thing to do.
It's, And so, like, for me, you know, I was I'm used to this air conditioning being not great. I'm not used to it not existing. And so I am fucking in this car. I'm trying to like listen to audiobooks. I'm trying to listen to like The Wager. I'm hearing about ships filled with poo-poo. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I feel like I'm in a ship filled with poo-poo. I'm on the five passing cow prison after cow prison. Everything smells. I'm hot. I'm sweating. I literally have a sunburn on my arm from my car. I've never had a fucking car sunburn before, but it's because I don't have the windows open and windows have sunscreens, you know? So that's bad. And then at some point I notice my engine, the thermometer is like, it's going up. Like I was like, oh shit, my engine's overheating. And so I tried to like, what do you call it? Oh shit, the dogs are barking. I'm in San Bruno over at Max Hartman's house. So if you hear lots of dogs.
Those are his dogs.
Hold on. Let me tell those dogs to shut up real quick.
I don't think yelling at them is going to help. Miss.
Nah,
he can't
let's
hear me.
Find out. I'm excited to see. Sonny! Sonny! He's very confident it's going to work, though.
Yeah, he went out there full of bravado.
I bet the dogs will respect that self confidence.
You got to be the alpha. That's what makes them quiet down.
That's right.
Show them.
The dogs are going to see him and be like, "Your car doesn't even have air conditioning. We don't respect you." Yeah.
Why is this guy all wet? Get out of here!
You got a sunburn driving a car. Stop it! I'm going to bark as much as I want.
Did you guys continue talking while I was gone?
Nope, we sat quietly and respectfully.
Yeah. Okay. That's right.
Sorry, there was someone here to check out the fire alarms or something. It's not my house, dog. Not my house. Okay, where was I?
You got a sunburn, and then your car started overheating.
My car started overheating, so I topped off the radiator fluid. Because I was like, that'll help. I got about an hour away from San Francisco, and then my car died in the freeway.
Oh no.
Yeah,
no.
That is pretty bad. Oh, no. That is pretty bad.
In the middle of the freeway, and I was able to idle it into the shoulder, which was nice. Shut up, dogs! Oh my god! No. I gotta yell at these fucking dogs. Sorry! No.
The dogs don't respect him.
No.
He
didn't go out there with enough confidence.
No. He now they know that they're getting to him. That's the problem.
That's right. He showed fear and they'd hate that.
Fucking listen, I love these dogs. These are two pit bulls.
Sonny's sweet. He's LA.
Very sweet, but they do this thing where they're like, "Oh, someone's here. Better bark until they die." Okay, so the car breaks.
Get to the shoulder.
Yeah, get to the shoulder.
Yeah.
Tow truck comes, takes me to the fucking, the mechanic in Redwood City. And then, of course, while I'm in the, like, tow truck, the guy spills his coffee all over me. And I'm like, fine.
What?
Yeah. It just
hold on. Hot coffee or iced coffee?
Oh, it was hot coffee that became cold.
Oh, so terrible.
So the worst kind of coffee.
Yeah. How did he do that? Did you tell a really funny joke?
Yeah, no, he spit it in my face from laughing. No, it just kind of, you know, he was like, I was like, should I just stay in my car? You guys pull me up? And they're like, no, you can come in the front. You know,
it's not
enough
chariot. That's not how it works.
Well, right. But he was like, there's enough room. And I looked, there wasn't enough room. He had to like move a bunch of shit. And then his coffee spilled on me. Got coffee all over my face.
Real stepdad wasn't expecting to have the kids this weekend.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, the McNulty truck driver.
Yes. And so they take me to the fucking...
Hold on, I gotta follow this guy.
So we go to the mechanics. Of course, they're closed. I have to leave my key at a fucking O'Reilly Auto Parts that's next to the mechanic. And I'm like, tell them it's my car and it broke. And so Anyways, and then I have to take a Lyft to get to the show on time, and like I told the
covered in coffee
that's and like sweet. Covered
sweaty
in
as hell,
sweaty and skin dust and fucking smelling, and half my arm is red,
sunburnt, yep. Yeah,
and just like,
and no offense, you're not like a super well put together guy. Like on a good day,
on a good day, I look homeless.
No offense before that. No offense, you normally look like shit.
All due respect, but you're a disgusting human when bathing.
I mean, when you're picturing Matt, it's not like he's wearing like a smart cardigan. And
no,
like,
right. Yeah. I'm not wearing a goddamn turtleneck. And
he's
a
not
vest.
A rom-com dad. Like he's looking, he looks like he might be homeless.
I am normally disheveled.
Yeah.
And so I'm just more disheveled than usual and kind of stinky. So like my whole plan was to fucking go to like San Bruno and then take a shower and then go up for the show and then just not fuck with the car, because I was like, I gotta let the engine cool down. So then I take the fucking Lyft, and the Lyft says that I will be in the city at 8:10, which is like, literally, I was like, that's exactly when I need to be there. So I tell the club owner that. And then, of course, there's traffic. And then I'm like, hey, I'm going to be there a little bit later. And he's like, well, the show started and you're up next. And I'm like, I'm still in the car. And I'm like, literally, I'm trying not to yell at this man, because I'm like trying not to yell at both the Uber driver and the club manager, because I want to continue working there. But I'm also like, bro, I've had maybe the worst day ever, and if I don't get to do 25 minutes complaining about it, I'm going to kill you and everybody in there. And so, no offense, but I'm going to do a multiple murder. And you will have deserved it. So, I then am yelling at the Uber driver. Like I as soon as I got in the fucking car, I was like, oh, you know, I took a sigh of relief, because I was like, at least I'm going to get to do the show. And oh man, what a crazy day. All of a sudden now I'm just like, you know, I'm like telling the driver like, turn. And like fucking, he drops me off on the corner. I'm like, this is fine. I roll out of the car and I fucking start running, and I get there and it is like right on time. And so I did get to do the set. So I just went on stage, and for 10 minutes, I'm breathing heavy going, I just got out of car. So what had happened? And I just like start telling the whole story. And it, like, I'm getting a lot of applause breaks, because they're
you
not
clapter from your.
I was getting a lot of clapter. Occasionally I was getting laughs, but I was like, mostly people were just like, good for you. And I'm like, no, I need laughs. And so yeah, so then I did the show, and it, you know, the worst part was I didn't feel better after the show. The show went great. I literally, it was like, if I had missed the show, I would have been enraged. The fact that I got to do the show means that everything is the same. And it's
yeah,
close
brought
to
you
like
back to the baseline.
It's which is like just I was like, this is just addiction. I'm just trying to maintain, man.
Yeah,
you know, on a rough week for the airline industry.
Yeah,
this is the story they need. Everybody's like, my flight's canceled and I'm pissed. And dude, then here comes Matt with his story of
with 4 hours of being air fried inside of cow doo-doo.
And they're like, yeah, it doesn't sound so bad to be stuck at LaGuardia now, does it?
Yeah, yeah, at least yeah. LaGuardia's got air conditioning. My fucking God, dude. It was just like, at one point I just started maniacally laughing in the car. Sure. Just because I'm like, it's going to be hot forever. I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, this is going to be so many hours. I was like, I wanted to Google, can you die from this? But then I was like, nah, there's got to be people in the 70s and stuff who like drove cars with air conditioning. Like there's, I'm not going to die probably, but it felt like it was so uncomfortable. And I couldn't believe that I survived it. So anyways, my radiator exploded. Luckily, it wasn't the engine, at least according to the mechanic shop. They say the engine is fine. It just overheated, but the radiator needs to be replaced.
I think you live in San Francisco now.
That's the other thing. I'm like, what am I going to do anyways? I can't leave until the car situation is dealt with. What do I do? Like, if they're going to charge me more for the radiator than the car is worth, like, what I really want is for them to just give me money and then they can have the car.
You know, the way auto mechanics frequently do. Yeah. Yeah.
But wait, no, that happened to me one time. My 92 Accord that was my dad's, that my dad gave to my brother, that my brother sold to me. I took that to a mechanic because it kept, like, smoke kept coming out of it for some reason.
That just lets you know it's working.
Yeah, well, I knew it was on. It was like, oh, it's on. You know it's on because of the smoke.
It's like a train. It's exciting.
It's like a choo-choo train.
Yeah, it's warming up.
Yeah. And so I, you know, but when I took that to the mechanic said, like, it's going to cost, you know, this much money for the car. If you want, I'll give you $400 for it. And so that does happen.
Okay.
But I don't.
I wish you much fortune in this transaction.
I don't think it'll happen again. But it's just like, man, like this, like, what am I going to do, fellas? What do you do with a car that's dead in a different city that you have to leave? And
you should Google Sunday? It. You should,
dude,
Google
I've been it. Googling it. Like, what do I do? Just what do I do on Google?
Yeah.
And all the answers like Quora. It's like, what do I do? And it says, I don't know. Just live your life, bro.
Yeah. Live your truth.
Anyways, so I think it's time for me to get a RAV4.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I think as long as you have a car that's not smoking and has air conditioning.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Which I realize now I'm describing like a moderate hotel room.
Yes.
Is really
yes.
what you're looking
yes,
for.
Yes, exactly. Non-smoking and
non-smoking and has air conditioning.
Yeah, yeah. A Motel 6 can do this.
Yeah, that would be fine.
I need a Motel 6 on wheels.
Ryan, how much better do you feel about like having your flight delayed? Like you're
fine. I feel yeah. positive. I feel yeah. grand.
How good do you feel about your life?
Now my day is, I have no complaints to offer.
Yeah,
maybe for the next week, frankly.
Oh my God, dude. It's like 4 hours in the fucking, I'm like, and now I'm now in this room.
Why are you rummaging?
I'm podcasting. You're rummaging
during this show.
I'm sorry to rummage, Vince, but it's hot in this room. And it's either okay. I do it here in hot room or I do it in dog room. And the dog room, they're going to bark at me.
Okay. Well, I want to watch you sweat, but I don't want to listen to you rummage, and that's not going to cool you off any.
I'm doing my best.
Fair enough.
This is when the first 10 minutes of the set were like,
it's, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's just me hard breathing going, I'm doing my best. No, I just started yelling about art.
They're like looking at each other. What time does Helen Hong come on?
Yeah. We have to listen to this? It's like, whenever I decide. Yeah.
We came here to see Helen Hong from Parks and Rec.
Listen, it was a great set, and we have a few more shows coming, and they're going to be great. And honestly, I'm just glad I got to tell a group of people that I bled for them. You know
you got
I mean?
To process it in real time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think they enjoyed it. I don't know. I don't remember. I was so tired.
Ryan, why are you in Portland?
We are doing a live fullcast at the nice. Oregon Museum of Science and Industry Planetarium tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's nice. Fun.
Because I'm a real idiot and I have ideas like, let's do a live podcast at a planetarium where nobody can see us and they just look at the night sky while we yell jokes at them.
I mean,
it sounds very relaxing.
Idea. That yeah. sounds fantastic.
I think it'll be fun. I did only belatedly realize there are definitely going to be people who come to this like baked out of their gourd,
oh,
right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be a little different.
No, it sounds like you are trying to recreate the experience of like walking around in nature while listening to a podcast, which is definitely something that I would do. Like,
sure.
That sounds like my ideal vacation.
Just that's
like,
something okay, podcast okay. listeners do, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Because you can't just enjoy something without having like some bozos in your ears.
No, what am I supposed to be alone with my thoughts?
Right, exactly. It's
fuck
like
that.
We are a replacement for your thoughts. Because all of your, if all of your thoughts are just like, what's the point? You know, at least you have other people in here being like, my car broke.
Even you driving in the worst conditions imaginable were like, I need some content. I need something going on in my ears.
Exactly, exactly, dude. I was turning up audiobooks louder than they're supposed to go. And it's just not, it was not working for me, man. But, you know, hey, we all had a great time. This room got hot. I gotta leave this room.
I feel like we could keep
potting. Everything's good.
Yeah.
If I stay here, I'm gonna die here.
Yeah. It didn't seem like the dogs were barking last time we were in that room.
Yeah, they weren't.
You know, knock on wood.
Yeah. Hi, dogs.
Yeah. This was a big week for the Frotcast because...
Was it?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many people texted me the J.D. Vance story because they were like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, didn't Joseph Clitico fuck his couch? Like, wasn't that a story
yes.
that he told on the broadcast?
And you also accused me of fucking your couch.
I didn't. Did I accuse you? Oh, okay.
You thought I fucked your couch that time I stayed in your apartment.
Yeah.
And you found, like... just
yeah.
evidence.
No, there was
a
there
torn
was,
shirt, a camera was, in the corner.
Was, no, there was. I came back and my bed had in it like ice packs, mm-hmm. like from the freezer, like those, you know, the pre-colding ice packs. There was a torn shirt and then like a video camera and then like a nest of wires, just like a piled, like a weird little nest
yeah.
in the middle of the bed, like that a home, like a meth head had left there.
Yeah.
Right. And
your explanation was,
I forget what it was, but it was normal.
No, it wasn't. You said you were hot and you had a shirt that was old, so you tore it off.
Yeah, I the shirt already had a hole in it, and I just was like, "Fuck it!" And I just Incredible Hulked it. Mm-hmm. And then also,
this is why I refer to him as like not the most well put together guy.
No, yeah, I'm getting that sense.
And then the ice packs were for my eczema.
Right.
Because yep. I have eczema and the ice packs are nice on my skin. The camera was because
it was just a hard scene to parse. Like, did sure. you get a homicide detective in there? And yeah. Like, what in the world?
This
happened?
Is like, this is like 20% of the way to a CSI plot.
Yeah, and then the video camera was like I was uploading videos of me doing stand up onto my computer.
Yeah.
Oh, I also had your kitchen shears. I remember you said that. I forget what I used those for. And I had one of the couch cushions or two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You had your long legs rested on the cushions
yes.
from the couch.
Yeah, I need a body pillow when I sleep.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Joe actually fucked the couch, right?
He did, yeah. I think he told that story on the show. You know, and then just today, I think it was it CNN? Someone like did a...
Washington a fact, Post.
Someone did a fact check
the,
on...
The AP.
Yeah.
Associated Press. The Associated Press ran it yesterday.
Yeah. Which I think is a viable story. People were talking yeah. about him fucking couch. They were obviously trying to like get some of that SEO traffic with the headline, "No, J.D. Vance did not have sex with his couch." And then everybody roasted him so bad that they pulled it, which is like somehow even funnier than them writing the article in the first place.
Wait, if they pulled it, doesn't that technically mean it's a retraction and he might have still fucked his couch?
Yeah. There's implication.
That's a very fair read.
I mean, listen.
Yeah.
I honestly, if he owned up to it, I think I would vote for him for president. If he just owned up, if he was like, you know, sometimes your couch is just right there and you've got a rubber glove, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, damn. Because, like, if,
Are you saying you'd vote for J.D. Vance if he said, "I currently fuck couches," or if he said, "Vance couches"?
Oh, wait, say that again. You cut out for a second.
Do you think, like, does it matter if he's doing this in the present or in the past?
Oh, I mean, I didn't even think about the present, to be honest.
I did not have sexual relations with that couch.
If he admitted to doing it in the past is what I was talking about, but if he said, "I still fuck couches," I would vote for him for emperor.
Yeah.
You know?
Sex positive king.
Sex positive king. King size sofa. He would be the sofa king.
Yeah. Yeah. He's so fucking honest about
He's so fucking
past.
Honest.
can you play the clip I sent you?
Yes.
This is the other, cuz like I haven't really been aware of JD Vance other than him saying like troll shit on Twitter, cuz I read his book and I actually kind of liked it. It's a crazy mom memoir. I always like crazy parent memoirs.
Sure.
And that was basically that, and then there was maybe like 4 pages about why he thought welfare was bad, which I just like ignored because I'm like, well, he's got a crazy mom. Like,
yeah, I'm sure he believes in euthanasia too.
Yeah, like he's, you know, he's got a fucked. I'm reading why he has some fucked up opinions about stuff.
Right.
But then, yeah, and ever since then, I think for like the last 4 years, he's been, you know, trying to be like Trump Jr.
A Trump guy, yeah. I mean, yeah. He's such a fucking charlatan. Everything about him is so fucking fake.
Yeah, and it's like so transparently not anything close to what...
No, he's a fucking Ivy League drone. Like, he's like anything he's doing, he's pretending to do. So here's him. Here's a clip from him.
It is the weirdest thing to me. Democrats say that it is racist to believe... Well, they say it's racist to do anything. I had a Diet Mountain Dew yesterday and one today. I'm sure they're going to call that racist too, but.
Huh?
It's good. I love you guys.
He is bombing his ass off. Jesus Christ. What? He is bombing his straight dick off. Yo.
I mean, here's the thing. No one's going to fact check your crowd work. So you could just say you had a Mountain Dew. Like, he couldn't even lie about the fact that it was a diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that is so weird. Everything about him is weird, though. You know, like,
so then he's trying to pander. He's trying to pander to the, to like the,
to the diet Mountain Dew crowd
by saying he had a diet Mountain Dew. What?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this guy is completely out of touch with, like, human beings, to the point at which, like, he will not own up to fucking that couch, which everyone in that crowd has done. You look at that crowd and everyone's like, yeah, I fucked.
Wall-to-wall couch fucker.
At the very least, they've thought about it. They've thought about it pretty hard.
I've fucked the couch. I fucked the Big Mouth Billy Bass. I fucked the pillow. I fucked the banana. I fucked the hot dog bun. I fucked a sponge inside a glove. I fucked a glove inside a sponge.
This is turning into a Dr. Seuss story. Yeah.
I will not fuck you with a glove. I will not fuck you with a dove.
I fucked a glove inside a sponge. I fucked a sponge inside a glove. I fucked many household objects and many that I love.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just saying, like, there's something human about someone being like, I don't know, weird.
It's like the one thing that could humanize him, because he's like, I feel like his major deficit is that he doesn't seem human. He's friends with...
He looks like an American girl doll, but like an American guy doll, you know what I mean? Like, he's got these weird, deep-set, like... shadow, like his eyes have like, he's got guy liner on, like, yeah, a natural guy liner.
No, I think it's not natural, because I think that,
oh really,
he didn't used to look like he was wearing guy liner that I can tell.
Why the fuck? It's not flattering, it's just creepy deepy. I don't understand it. Why does he, I don't know, man. Yeah, he's just a weird guy.
Think about this, if you're trying to impress if you're trying to impress Donald Trump, your sense of like what is aesthetically pleasing is totally off.
100%.
Because you're going after, you're like, I have to impress this dude with that hair and that skin tone.
Yeah.
Like, I have no barometer for what handsome is supposed to look like anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's you make a great point. Like, when you're trying to impress one of the strangest looking men in the history of this country,
well, also it is hard
to aesthetically understand, like, what is he going to like? And he's like, I don't know, weird eyes.
Yeah, weird eyes. Trump famously hates facial hair, so I really hope that Trump is just going to make him shave off his beard and then ditch him like the Yankees did, like the Yankees do sometimes, where they like draft a guy who has long hair and then make him cut it off and then cut him or trade him a week later.
Send him to the Rangers.
Yeah. But I mean, like, J.D. Vance's whole thing is like being a scholarship boy. Like, he was, you know, he got into the Ivy League by being like the poor kid from the wrong side of the tracks. And then like he became like Peter Thiel's blood boy, I assume, partly like by being, you know, oh, look at this promising youth who also hates people.
Get me a full cheeked boy.
Yeah, look at his full cheeks.
I need a full cheeked boy.
There's no way Peter Thiel. Peter is not letting his blood boys drink Diet Mountain Dew. Oh, absolutely not. He's not letting them corrupt his youth blood like that. No.
No way. No way. Yeah. No. Peter Thiel is making sure that everything, every liquid that's going into his body is going to be raw milk and just straight Peter Thiel cum. You know what I mean?
You started that sentence and I was like, there's no way he's gonna get through this without saying come. I know Matt.
I can't help it.
All roads lead to come. There's
wrong
no way.
With that? I'm just being me. Just let me be me. It's even hot here.
Does he not have air conditioning?
No, because it's a Bay Area fucking house. It's like San Bruno, right? And like, like the peninsula gets like a little hot, like for a couple weeks out of the year or something. And so they're like, what are we going to get air conditioning just for the random times you show up? And I'm like,
I was in Oregon last week. We drove from, we drove from Fresno, like all the way to Montana and back. And like Oregon has, we were in Bend, so we were not in Portland. Bend is like a little,
I love Bend.
I feel like everybody in Bend like is a rock climber or like enjoys action sports in some way.
Sure.
But it still has like the basic Oregon vibe. And Oregon is really funny to me because everyone there dresses like a 5-year-old that's going on a field trip. Like they have their little hats like that their mom put on them so they don't get sunburned, and then like a backpack, and then like they have like a cool t-shirt from like a REI that they tuck into their shorts for some reason, and then like sandals that have 1500 straps on them. Like it's so funny. Like Oregon style is my favorite. It really makes me laugh.
I mean, Bend has the, what is it, the last Blockbuster, right?
Do they? I thought it was in Alaska.
Or no, they have the first Blockbuster or something like that. There's a Blockbuster there. Here, I'm looking this up. I'm almost positive that I'm not making up Blockbuster shit.
I think that was right at some point, but I don't know if that's still true.
I'm going to find out. It was like, okay, Blockbuster, Bend, Oregon. Yeah, it's still there. It's the last.
I feel like
I don't know.
Yeah, it's still there. I feel like Bend is slightly less annoying than Portland because in Bend, like people wearing those like Teva style sandals, you imagine that they are actually going on a hike that day. Whereas in Portland, it's just like, no, this is my affectation to prove to you how functional I am.
Yeah. Okay.
I care more about function than style.
Blockbuster Video in Bend, Oregon is now officially the last Blockbuster in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, it's the last Blockbuster on Earth.
What?
Yes, yes. So the two Alaska stores shut down, and then in 2019, the second Alaska Blockbuster in Perth, Australia, shut down, making Bend have the last Blockbuster.
Wow, big, yeah.
Good, I don't know. Bend, that. I guess there's not much. There's nothing else there.
It's so sad that we have to like mythologize Blockbuster, even though like it was the worst place. Like it put all the good video stores out of business, and then by being the only thing, we're like, hey, remember video stores? Those are cool.
Yeah, that is true. It is very funny how now, like, when you see a Barnes and Noble, you're just like, oh man. Oh, I remember those. And then you're like, no, these were evil. This was the whole plot to You've Got Mail. Yeah. Why are we celebrating? Why are we celebrating Barnes and Noble still existing?
Yeah. It was just such a weird culture shock driving through like southern Utah and then like Idaho. Like we stopped in a place in southern Utah where people didn't look at us. Like they literally,
what
like
do you
we
mean?
Said, like, so we stopped in Parowan, Utah, which is a pretty town that also my wife described it as like my Borat, she described it as like the kind of town that would be in a Netflix documentary about some kids who disappeared. Where it was like, oh, it's just a quiet town.
That's what I like, liked you were going to say, honestly.
yeah. It's one of the, you know, it has like a cute little main street, but then like it doesn't seem like there's anything around it. It's like someone just put this like adorable town like in the middle of nowhere kind of deal. And very, very adorable town. And we were going into the diner to have breakfast, and there was like a lady that was on crutches walking out of the diner, and we like opened the door for her, and we're like, oh, hello, and didn't look at us, didn't respond.
She didn't even say thank you.
Didn't say thank you, didn't say good morning, like didn't say anything. And neither did the person that was with her. Like the waitress of the diner was nice, but like everybody else, it felt like, I don't know, we were in Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And then like there were a couple places in Idaho that were kind of like that too. And I think Idaho's whole vibe is like, hey, we came here to like start a white supremacist militia. We don't like all these like Californians moving here and like making the price of our groceries go up.
A racist enclave is not like economically sustainable when there's like Californians around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're like, oh, look, trees. We could move here.
Summertime and the living is thirsty again. Once again, I've done that joke, and once again. It's a great joke.
Very funny, Matt.
Thank you.
But you're right. It is summer. And during the summer, I love to keep Fiji water on hand to keep my family and me hydrated and refreshed.
Here's the thing about Fiji water. It really is from the islands of Fiji.
You're a liar.
No, I swear to God, it actually is. Drop by drop, Fiji water collects in a sustainable, ancient, artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. But I'm always wondering, Vince, how does Fiji water taste so good?
That's such a good question. And the answer is that as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji water its signature soft, smooth taste. You know, yesterday I happened to take my son to California's largest water park, and you know, it's hot out, the sun's beaten down, you're carrying a toddler around, you get thirsty.
Sure do.
And you know what I did?
What?
I reached a meaty paw out for that natural artesian spring water that comes only from Fiji.
That's right. That's right. And listen, I enjoy Fiji water on a hot day. I enjoy Fiji water on a cold day. I enjoy Fiji water on a medium day. Just basically whenever I'm thirsty, I reach for a nice bottle of Fiji water.
I know your mouth gets dry when you're trying to do those royalty freestyles sometimes.
It does. It does. I have a very dry mouth. People have commented on that. And I like to wet it with the Fiji water. And here's the thing, Vince. Unlike some other premium bottled water, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring.
That's like the best kind of electrolytes. And this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7. Fiji water really is Earth's finest water. And since 2022, its 330 milliliter and 500 milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, so you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water.
Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up today for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office.
It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So like going from that to like getting back to Oregon and it feels like you're inside an REI was such like an amazing culture shift.
Yeah.
A matter of 4 hours of driving or whatever it was.
I love Bend. There's a river. You can float on it. Where are you, Ryan?
In Portland.
You're in Portland. Okay. That's cool. I like Portland too. Portland's nice.
I've never been here, so.
Oh, no?
We'll see how it goes.
There's a lot of, you can get brunch at strip clubs. That's their big thing.
Oh.
Yeah, yes. They have the most strip clubs per capita of any city in the country, I believe. And so,
who grew up in Tampa, this is like very, like, I'm a little offended almost, frankly.
Yeah. Because it's against Jesus?
No, just like strip clubs are supposed to be Tampa's shitty thing. And oh, yeah. I don't know why Portland had to take it from us.
Yeah, well, you know, listen. Portland's out here pretending to be the first at everything, but really, you know, they're the last. Just like that last Blockbuster and Bend. I'm doing my best here to connect pieces. Yeah, yeah. I still have
crowd work.
Heat stroke.
He's so hot right now.
I'm so hot right now, dude. I got a door open. One of the dogs just left. I think it's fine.
As a Tampan, do you call yourselves Tampans?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Oh, okay. Tampan. Right, I was just making that up, but Tampans. Does it bother you that the sports teams from your city call themselves Tampa Bay, even though the city is not actually called Tampa Bay?
It is pretty stupid. It is pretty stupid, mostly because like I think it's supposed to be some sort of like, oh, well, it's like the Tampa Bay area, the same way people talk about the Bay Area in San Francisco, but nobody talks about it that way. Mm-hmm. Like it's just a way like a national weatherman would talk about it or something. Yeah. So it's just totally meaningless. Plus, like, then they put these things. It would be one thing if any of these teams played reasonably close. Like, if you were like, oh, the Rays play right next to the water, like the San Francisco Giants do or something. But no,
right.
They play in this fucking indoor Costco of a stadium in a place nobody wants to go to. So we're just invoking the beach without actually going to it.
It's chicken bake night at the Tampa Bay Rays Stadium.
I mean, I'll give them this. It's not as dumb as Golden State Warriors, because that, like, people just sort of gloss over how stupid a name that is, but that's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never understood that. Like, why is it it's California's whole team? That, like, that's not fair.
And also, like, you're going to, like, call California by, like, its nickname that no one uses?
Right, yeah. I've actually, full on never understood how that even happened.
If they even went with, like, Bay City Warriors, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
cool.
That
I
does
mean, not
sound
cool,
sick.
But like cooler than Golden State Warriors. It's weird.
I
like New England Patriots because they're just like the whole region belongs. Like it's a fucking game of Risk or something.
Yeah, but it worked though because it's like you talk to anyone from New England and they're just like they all of them, like all the Maine people, the Rhode Island people. It's just like one state, really, and that state is called New England.
I don't
England.
Think people from Maine or New Hampshire actually enjoy anything.
Oh, well, no, they want to die. But I'm saying that, like, when they, in between life and death, they'll
when
watch,
I was in Idaho,
they'll
I
watch
was like,
the Pats play. Yeah.
When I was in Idaho, I was like, this feels like New Hampshire West. Like, these New Hampshire, New Hampshire and Idaho, I feel like, are spiritually connected because it's like, it's where, like, grumbly old white dudes go to complain to their trees. Just like walk around mountains and trees grumbling.
Well, so like where was it Utah you said where nobody was making eye contact with
you? Yeah, that was in southern Utah. And that sort of happened like
in Idaho
as well.
Yeah, when you're describing it, all I could think of was like Derry, Maine from fucking any Stephen King novel. I was like, are you in fucking Castle Rock? Like, why is everyone just like, oh, no, here we don't make eye contact.
Yeah, no, it felt like that. It did feel very Stephen
King.
Oh,
an Outlander's here. If you see an Outlander at the local Denny's, don't thank him for opening the door.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't like you going down this route. Go back to where you came from. Yeah, no, that's... the teams in Tampa Bay that are Tampa teams, excuse me.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
So the Bay is, they rely on Bay for both of those names to work, you know.
Yeah. And the mascots are oceanic in nature, pirates and stingrays.
Yes.
Sure. So like it kind of works in that regard.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like if they call it the Tampa Rays.
Miami's the Dolphins. They didn't need to remind you that, like, it's the Miami Atlantic Ocean Dolphins.
Yeah, well,
you can put two and two together. And it's fine.
You're no Miami, sir. You're no. You are no Miami. Right? I don't know why I'm saying it like that. No, I had a girlfriend from Tampa, and. Tampa is, I've literally never been to Florida, but I'm so eager to go there because everything about it just seems like otherworldly. Like it's like filled with like ghosts. I don't know how to describe it, but everything there seems magical and strange.
It is America's island of misfit toys.
Yes, exactly.
People.
Yes. That's what it feels like.
Like every weird uncle, every cousin who you're like, whatever happened to, they end up in Florida because it is impossible to be too weird for Florida.
Yeah.
Like Florida doesn't really have a like other places are like, this is Georgia or this is Pennsylvania. And like, we have a way of doing things in Florida. It's like, the way of doing things is don't get caught by the cops. That's it.
Yeah. Yes. It's weird because it feels like California in a lot of ways. I feel like there's a lot of similarities there, but it's sort of like, you know, it's like California, but like started by moonshiners or something.
It's Florida is we have California at home.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like I've seen multiple guys with Joker face tattoos who are from Florida. You know what I mean?
That's probably right. And I think it's why German tourists really love coming to Florida for some reason. And I suspect it's that, and this is going to be heavily stereotyped, I'm sorry. But I think if you're German, you're like, we are used to a certain level of order and precision and rigor.
Yeah.
And we want to go somewhere that doesn't have any of that shit for vacation. We want to go to like as close to the lawless Wild West as you can feasibly get to.
Yeah, yeah.
In modern times, 100%.
I did have like a lot of good like German tourist moments, like in Yellowstone, which is kind of the same deal. And I was just sort of like looking at, you know, Yellowstone. There's people from all over the world there that come to look at a geyser, which is really funny to me. But which I did too. So whatever. But I don't know. Like German tourists always crack me up because you can like sort of pick them out of the mob because like no matter what kind of, even when Germans are wearing like leisure wear, they have a way of making it look like a uniform somehow.
Yeah. They're still goose stepping.
No, it's just like everything they're wearing is like functional in the way like a paratrooper's clothes are. Or it's like, oh, yeah,
children,
I have
get together. We are all going to iron our Tommy Bahamas. Tommy Bahama shirts. Yeah. No, I mean,
like they have a special pocket for their sunscreen kind of stuff. You know?
Yes, they have sunscreen to begin with.
Yeah. They're always prepared.
Right.
They're rigorous and prepared.
Yeah.
You can just sense it.
I could see why they'd go to Florida too, because a lot of those Joker face tattoo guys also have like a little swastika.
Or a big one.
Or a big one. It depends. Depends like how about it they are, you know.
Yeah.
It depends about how Joker they're willing to be. Depends on how society they want to be.
Well, I made you guys watch a movie, which we will talk about eventually. But,
absolutely.
Before we get to that, I felt like I found just an incredible example of the existential buffoon, which is like a stereotype that we've discussed on the broadcast many times. And I was just recommended this reel on Instagram, and it's just a guy in like a meditative pose. With like, you know, he looks like a yoga guy kind of hair. And it's just says, it's just a screen cap. Interesting facts you might not know about me. All of these facts are bangers. I'm just going to set it up that way.
And by the way, the guy who's meditating, it is like a white blonde man with a beard. And not a top knot, but not a knot, like a back knot.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, he's got a back
eyes
knot.
Closed, good cheekbones.
Yeah.
You know,
First interesting fact: I have represented South Africa in maths and canoeing.
Yeah. Okay. I think I know what that means. Like
this is the most Mad Lib shit I've ever heard. Pick a country. Pick a topic in school. Pick a mode of transportation.
How do you represent South Africa in maths? Like, there's some sort of maths competition that South Africa is involved in, which
yeah,
is great.
I imagine some sort of international maths competition.
I just assume that means he like figured out a tip abroad and was like, I did it. I represented South Africa on the maths.
Correctly calculated 18%. Fact two, I have been stabbed 5 times.
Sure. Okay. All right. So now
that just feels like you live in South Africa. We get it.
Yeah.
Fact three, my family has lived in South Africa for over 200 years.
Okay. So now we're really getting deep into what's going on with this guy.
Okay. Okay.
That
means some things, my guy.
That means a few different things. And it's like now
it definitely
like,
has to be related to getting stabbed 5 times.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
That's like when you meet somebody who's like, I'm a 10th generation Tennessean. And you're
right.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Okay.
Okay.
Next fact. I was a professional rugby player.
Sure. See, if you had started with that, I'd have been like, what a normal list.
Yeah.
Yeah. And next fact. I am currently celibate.
All right. What are we supposed to do with this? It's like because this text is superimposed.
How many times do you have to get stabbed before you swear off sex?
I've been stabbed 5 times, and now I will not do another stabbing. Never again stabbing. It's the best South African I can do.
I'm picturing him relaying all. I'm picturing him relaying all of these facts to Alex Trebek during the break. It's like, we gotta move on.
He's like desperate to move on. He's like, okay, canoeing, you're celibate. All right,
I've got five more.
There's like a comedian who's trying to do crowd work, and he's like, I'm never going to be able to move on from this.
Where are you from? Well, I got stabbed 5 times. Been in South Africa for 200 years. Currently celibate.
Next, the next bullet point's a doozy. I own a wine company that supports cheetah conservation.
Okay, all right, fine.
Things don't go together at all.
It's very Mad Libs. It is very Mad Libs.
You cannot buy wine that does not have this cheetah safe seal on it.
Is this cheetah free wine? Yeah,
yeah. Oh man.
Next one. I struggle with depression.
Well, yeah, I can tell by your post. Sure.
Yeah, you get stabbed 5 times, anybody's going to have some problems.
Yeah, exactly. You get stabbed 5 times, you wonder why, you think about the 200 years your family spent in Africa and how a majority of those years that maybe there was a little bit of a racial hierarchy imposed on by this current government. And, yeah, I don't know. Uh-huh. I get it.
And final bullet point. My greatest goal is to achieve wisdom.
Feel you, dog. I mean, I like it as a goal. I like it that it's like in there as like, hey, I realize I'm not there yet. See bullet points 1 through 7.
Buddy, you're not even walking in the right direction. It doesn't sound like. What will bring me wisdom? Cheetah-free wine. That's the answer.
Yeah. Giving wine to cheetahs, playing rugby and not stabbing anybody, women, not being stabbed back. You know, over there it's bling bling, over here it's bling bang. Oh man!
Just stomping grapes, being like, "God, I hope the cheetahs are okay."
This guy could be Lieutenant Governor of Florida, no problem.
100%.
It'd be easy.
Yeah,
be like, "Oh, we love him, Dave. Yeah. He's awesome."
Dave, yeah, no, he's trying to get wise, so don't worry about him. No, he's cool. He's cool. He's just work in progress.
we're all on our walk, you know.
It's cool. Dude, there's like
it feels very JD Vance.
Jesus, like, got stabbed a bunch of times too. It's cool.
Yeah, exactly, that is true. So I mean, and he was one of the wisest of them all.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a winemaker in his own way.
That's true. Yeah, he
also
did
also celibate. This guy is basically modern Jesus Christ.
If you turn water into wine, what would the cheetahs drink, though? That doesn't feel
Oh, damn.
Oh, shit.
So you're saying this guy is better than Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Okay.
I could see it.
Certainly better at rugby.
So there's there's like on Twitter, you know how they're like,
this has 24,000 likes, by the way.
Of course it does. Because all of those bullet points are like algorithmically like boosted.
It's just, I hope,
like,
he bought all
something,
those likes.
There's something.
You're depressed.
There's something
and,
for everybody in there. Yeah.
You're depressed and you're doing yoga and you want wisdom. You know, it's like,
it's, you like math. There's something for you here.
Yeah. I'm pro STEM, anti cheetah poaching.
I wish you had the fucking hashtags, because you know those go hard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because like, this is hashtag to both like wine moms and like fucking apartheid apologists.
Rugby dudes.
Yeah. You know, like this is on some weird algorithmic shit. Yeah, man.
I can't find it. I wish I could find it again to see what the comments were, but yeah, I hope they're all just like, hey, good luck with your depression, and keep saving those cheetahs.
Yeah.
Like Twitter has gotten weird with you know, this is low key related. You know how there's like a lot of like just fascist posting on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
There's like also like I just like randomly ran into this one account that's just like a guy who like wants Rhodesia back.
Mm.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Was it Elon Musk's dad?
It's not, but I actually not made that connection yet. The fact that it's like, oh yeah, I bet he definitely like gives preference to like you know, the white ex, you know, colonial people who are just like, remember back when the Belgian Congo was great, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so you're 100% right.
People forget about all the good things King Leopold did.
Yeah, exactly. Why do you think there was two of them? You know, the Leopold so nice, the king so nice, they named him twice.
This is why they're all pro Babar. They're like, oh, yes. You think Babar is cool, huh? Let me tell you what else.
Yeah. First,
was Babar
Rhodesia?
it's hard to know, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's tricky.
Yeah, it is hard to know what, you know, Babar the elephant. What, let's see, let's find out. I mean, French, so maybe one of their French holdings. You know, what do the French have in Africa?
There's some weird shit going on in Babar. That's all I'll say. I'm not trying to be controversial here, but there's some weird colonialism going on in Babar.
I think you're right. You are not wrong about that.
I assume he's like the evil Paddington.
Yeah. He's the evil Paddington Bear.
Because Paddington is like the he's like the mascot of the UK, but promoting like the multicultural, yes. You know, stiff upper lip. We like marmalade. Don't think about the colonial stuff. Mascot.
And then this will, of course, lead to the crossover event we all crave. Paddington v. Babar. Yes. Summer blockbuster.
Paddington v. Babar. Oh man, yeah. Well, anyways, we all saw a movie.
Yeah, I made you watch Love Lies Bleeding. I didn't really have any explanation of why I did that. I just saw it on Max.
Like, oh, that's it. It was just
I saw it on Max, and I remembered the posters, and I was like, oh, it's like a Kristen Stewart lesbian bodybuilding movie. Why not? Let's try it out.
Yeah, it's got a lot of like factors in it that you're just like, well, one of them's gonna stick,
right?
Like, yeah. I like the idea of a period piece set in the, what was it, the late 70s, early 80s?
Late 80s.
Late 80s.
Yeah.
Mid
80s, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
The Gold's Gym era, I would say.
Yeah. Female bodybuilders. Yeah. I'm cool with that. And then just like Kristen Stewart lesbian art house film. And I was like, well, I haven't seen any of them. And I know she makes them. And I was like, I feel like I should see one, you know? Yeah. It's like, clearly there's, you know, she has a thing she likes to do. So I'm gonna watch it, and I'll be real with you, I don't know what the fuck I watched.
Yeah, that's kind of
I don't know.
It felt like they came up with Kristen Stewart lesbian bodybuilding movie, and then they just kind of stopped there and tried to improvise the rest while they're on the set.
Yeah. And they were just like, I don't know, it'll carry itself. You know,
I do want to know the real hero of this movie, whoever did Ed Harris's wigs.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Like I don't know if you can get like a special Oscar just for that, but I would like to see it.
I like the fact that he just keeps getting more and more wizened, and like he's like, he started out leathery and now it's like,
yes,
it's like if somebody turned up the unsharp mask Photoshop filter like too much on his face.
He just has that
all the time.
Yes. He peaked in the Ark of the Covenant. Just peaked.
Yeah. I like it too because he's also more bald.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like he's always been bald, but like,
I mean, the best thing you can do as a public figure is to just start out old looking. Because like, if you start out old looking, you never age. It's like Larry David,
Sean Connery was like this for a long time.
Sean Connery, yeah. Leslie Nielsen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who else? There's someone obvious who I'm forgetting. But yes, I do feel like that is it's a good move to be like young and decrepit, which is what I'm going for.
Yeah. You know? So this feels like I don't know if you guys have been to any film festivals, but this feels like very much like a film festival movie.
100%.
That like everybody talks about because it has like memeable shit in it. And so like it gets buzz because people are like, oh man, remember when that bodybuilder like hulked out and ripped off Dave Franco's jawbone?
Yeah.
So then it like generates buzz, but it's like not actually like a good movie.
Right. Yeah. No, it is strange. Sorry, the dogs this are is... just moving around. Oh, sorry. I'm going to go back. I'm going to. Lauren just came home.
Hi, Lauren. Hi.
I'm podcasting in your kitchen because it was hot. How was your day?
Good.
We were talking about the movie Love Lies Bleeding. Okay. Have you seen that?
No.
Okay, it's got Kristen Stewart. All right, I'm gonna go in the room. We're almost done.
Okay, as Matt changes room, this movie 94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, what was that about? Sorry, I had to stretch my headphones. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Sure can.
I will say this. I really liked the way. I liked the way in which this really emphasized that in the 80s, everything was shitty. Like even nice things were cheap and grimy. Mm-hmm. And like Ed Harris is, you know, he's kind of like the crime lord of this little town that they're in. And supposedly, right. Like, you would think like he would have a nice house, and his house sucks and his stuff sucks. Las Vegas looks like shit when they go. Like, there was, I think this did a better job than I think a lot of other stuff does of reminding you what the 80s were actually like, aesthetically and viscerally. And so I like really bought into like the setting they were putting us into.
Oh, texturally.
Yes.
Really strong.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Then the things that happen are a little harder to reckon with in some ways.
Yeah. Because it doesn't really decide on what kind of movie it is. And I don't have a problem with you just kind of like, you know, throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. But I feel like when she hulked out at the end, I was the first time I was like, okay, so this movie has magic in it.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I feel like you kind of have to introduce the fantastic earlier in the movie, so that
because the only
like, you can't introduce the fantastic like just as a way to solve like basic script problems.
Yeah,
right.
Like the only fantastical things that happened in the movie were explained away as either dream sequences or like thoughts or like high on drugs.
Oh, you mean like when she throws up Kristen Stewart?
When she vomits up Kristen Stewart like a snake.
Are we explaining enough of the plot to the listener? I think so. It starts out.
So
Kristen,
it's a movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kristen Stewart works at a like a bodybuilding,
like a gym,
Gold's Gym type place. Strong start. Like I'm really into like her working at this grimy gym full of buff dudes. One of whom is ex-MMA fighter Keith Jardine, who is like contractually required to appear in any movie that involves bodybuilders and or New Mexico.
Good for him.
And so this one was like, you know, okay, we definitely have to put Keith, we have to give Keith Jardine lines in this.
Sure.
Otherwise, the film commission.
Otherwise, he could sue.
Yeah. So she works there. She meets like this buff drifter lady. Played by I gotta find her name.
Alana Glazer. No, but kinda.
Katie O'Brien, who does kind of look like a buff Alana Glazer.
A buff Alana Glazer, yeah.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed her in this.
Yeah, she's great.
I, I like big buff chick beat people up. That's a good
100%. I was premise. Like super down with this premise of like, okay, yeah. So
and their relationship was like kind of gross and compelling. Like watching her shoot up her girlfriend with steroids, like weirdly sensual.
The first day they meet.
Yeah.
That's the meat cute, basically. Yeah.
M-E-A-T cute.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was like there was a lot of factors in this movie that it was like put together. This is great. I mean, I love the idea of a bodybuilder girl meets Kristen Stewart and they get into like a
what if
sexy
we have an
relationship.
An art house lesbian pain and gain.
Yes, yes,
right,
yes.
Right, right.
And then, you know, there's like history with the
steroid Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Bonnie and Clyde with fucking, you know, with steroids.
Fisting.
With fisting. Yeah. and so I was into it and then it
I want to stretch you out was pretty great.
It felt like it started falling apart after they realized they had to move the plot forward.
Yes, once they realized it couldn't be like a 20-minute short.
Right. Yeah. So like Kristen Stewart's sister is an abused housewife who is being abused by Dave Franco, who works at her piece of shit father's gun range. Slash restaurant? I don't know.
Slash restaurant? Slash gun running facility?
Yeah.
Like it's a lot of things.
A lot. Yes. Yeah. So he's, I guess, the crime boss of whatever town
it's like
this
a dirtbag Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. Yes. That's exactly what it is. They got pizza, they got games, they got guns.
They got guns.
And so bodybuilder girl is working as a waitress in the gun range. and Dave Franco also works there and beats up Kristen Stewart's, you know, sister. And then it's a revenge movie about that. And meanwhile, like, fucking bodybuilder is just trying to get to this competition, but she gets so mad at Dave Franco that she murders him by hitting his jaw a lot on a coffee table, which I was just like, this was the beginning of when I started to question what this movie was about, because I was just like, wait, but your motivation has been, as far as I can tell, do anything you can to get to Vegas
right.
for this, you know, bodybuilding competition. It makes way more sense for to have Kristen Stewart be the one who avenges the sister.
But then it wouldn't be a roid rage cautionary tale.
Yeah, which is not what I thought it would be.
Right.
Also, this movie also posits that steroids make you like hallucinate. And
right, that was another weird thing. She's like, Fear and Loathing in terms of the way they were like doing the like, oh man, she's roided out. You know, everyone's like got bug eyes and stuff. And I'm like, wait, is she on drugs? Because I don't think this is what steroids do. Then again, I've never shot up steroids in my butt.
Because you're saving your strength.
I'm saving my strength.
That's right. Doesn't want to waste it.
I don't want to waste it now. But if I have the steroids ready, I'm going to take them all at once. And instead of lifting like 1,000, you know, 100-pound dumbbells, I'm going to lift one 100,000 pound dumbbell.
That's right. That's
one
right.
Time.
You'll lift the space shuttle.
I'll lift the space shuttle, and then I'll get all the muscle immediately.
That's right. That's right.
I have a plan. But yeah, so the movie ended up kind of not knowing what it was going to be about, and then ends up. And here's the thing: I was also okay with this turning into like a lesbian hotties on the run movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't turn into that either, because she's just like, well, I'm gonna go to Vegas and do this bodybuilding competition, even after they like hid the body of Dave Franco. And then she throws up on stage because of the roids, and then she calls Ed Harris,
beats up another bodybuilder who laughed at her for puking.
Yes, beats up another bodybuilder, so she gets in trouble, asks Ed Harris to get her out of trouble, and in order to get out of trouble, And Harris is like, you have to kill this other person. And then she does. And then she also tries to kill Kristen Stewart. And I'm like, what the fuck's happening with this movie? These people just met. You can't do a movie about two lovers who just met and not have them be like committed to the I'm in love and I would die for you thing.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like right. that is the relatable part.
You're talking about like a true romance. Kind of yes.
A Bonnie and Clyde, yeah. a fucking yeah. Thelma and Louise, yeah. you know. Thelma right. and Louise are never just like, okay, I'll kill Thelma, you know. Right. Like,
yeah, the plot is like, of those movies, is like, I will kill people for you because I love you so much. The plot yes. of this is like, I will kill people if it's convenient for me.
Right, exactly.
Or because I just have lost my senses.
Yeah, frankly. Yeah. And it just kind of like, and so I keep expecting the movie to make any like kind of like relatable human turn. Like, oh, okay, no, this movie, you think it's going to be about Bonnie and Clyde. But what if Bonnie was a psychopath? And oh no, now you're stuck in this thing where you think you're going to have this relationship with this person, but now they're crazy. No, it doesn't turn into that either. Then all of a sudden she's hulking out, turning into the 50-foot woman. And you're like, you know, fucking, if you're going to do this, commit to it and put Ed Harris in your pussy, right?
Yeah. I was 100% expecting her to use Ed Harris as a tampon.
Or to eat Ed. Or,
yeah, yeah. Just eat him.
Well,
yeah.
He also looked, yeah. he was styled yeah. like, okay, someone's going to use this guy as a tampon at some point because yes. he looked right, like, right. he looked like a human tampon with that hair. He had the skullet. One of my friends had a roommate at one stage who like moved out and left some of his stuff in the apartment. And he had like this guy that moved out had like multiple hard drives worth of just like hours long compilations from movies like this, where a woman was like growing or becoming what the big fuck? Or bursting out of her clothes in some way.
Yeah. And that's a real fetish.
That's
yeah.
interesting. I never heard that fetish.
So this kind of felt like, okay, this is going to be perfect.
This is for him.
Yeah, this movie's for him.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then there's a point where the movie looks like it's like been red herringing you the whole time, and it's actually about Kristen Stewart versus Ed Harris. Like right. him. Because there's what seems to be this, when they dispose of Dave Franco's body, she knows to put it in this like ravine where Ed Harris puts all his bodies.
Right.
And so when the cops find Dave Franco, they're also like, oh shit, 50 skeletons. And you're like, okay, I see where this is going. This is how she finally takes her dad down.
Yeah.
But then her dad's like, Ed Harris is like, yeah, it doesn't matter. They can't tie me to any of that. I'm like,
right.
Well, why
right.
are we doing that? What was the point of it?
What's the point of any of it? At every point at which you think it's going to settle down to be a movie, it stops doing it and it goes and right. it goes, no, that doesn't matter. And then it yeah. kind of, it's like it, after a while.
And then Ed Harris just eats a giant bug at one point.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he does.
He's eating beetles. And I'm just like, what? I thought maybe I yeah. missed that.
Yeah. Where
like,
are you going with
maybe
this?
He did that earlier. And I was like looking at my
do
phone.
Do you think that's in the script, or do you think that was a choice he made and they were like, yes, that's in?
I think the basic problem with this movie is like almost every scene ends in a moment that felt like something the actor just did because it'd be cool to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an Adam McKay movie instead of like, hey, just riff something funny. And it's just like, I don't know, do whatever. Fuck you. And and I have this thing where like I want to not automatically like knee-jerk hate Kristen Stewart because like she's such like she gives off this like LA scumbag vibe that I really mm-hmm. find like annoying as someone who's yeah. from Los Angeles. I'm like, ugh. Like,
especially when people interpret her acting choices as being like some sort of like artistic
right
thing, and it's like, no, she's just doing what she does and has right. always done. And
yes. Yeah. No, she has the career stability and the career freedom to like be like scummy and I, and people like this, like I guarantee you horrible human being. Now, this is just based on, you know, people I've known in my life yeah. who are come
hey,
from
Matt
the same
stock. Matt went to high
stock.
School with Emil Hirsch. He knows what
that's
he's
right. Yes. And people, you know, like him and like a lot of others, Shia LaBeouf or whatnot, go to 1 year of public school in LA just to claim that school. And so that's what Kristen Stewart feels like to me. Like just someone who is scumbaggy, yeah. And was like, you know, like Jonah Hill being like, one time saw some skater kids in seventh grade and said like, I'm going to say this was my childhood.
So can I push back on that slightly in this movie?
Okay, please.
There are stretches and it doesn't stick to it. And that's what I think is frustrating as well. There are stretches where Kristen Stewart plays this character as clearly so in over her head,
yes,
that I'm like, oh, that would be an interesting direction.
I agree completely.
Where you think this protagonist, where you think this person who's like one of the primary characters in this like grimy romance is like trapped on all sides, trapped by this roid rage lover, her father who's a crime lord, her sister she's trying to protect who won't press charges against her
abusive bullshit
husband. Yeah, yeah, like, but it doesn't stick. It doesn't stay in that direction.
I agree completely.
Hard to get a draw beat on it.
And to be honest, it, like skill wise, in terms of Kristen Stewart and this character, I was actually digging it for a good long time. I was like, she's good. I see why she does this type of movie, plays this type of character. I don't. She's good at it, and I am compelled by her. But you know, it just like.
Well, you brought up Shia LaBeouf, and I feel like that's a good comparison because to me, like, there was a moment, like, I started out hating Shia LaBeouf because he was just, you know, obnoxious and trying too hard all the time.
Right.
But I think he also got to a point where the scumbagginess felt earned and authentic and, like, he's vulnerable in a way. Like, he allows himself to be sort of vulnerable with his screwed up, like child actor childhood, and it has sort of made me turn the corner on him, and like I was one, and part of the reason that is maybe
when,
I
it was when he
about
got
this
Joker tattooed on his stomach for a role,
I was wondering if maybe this was going to be that moment for Kristen Stewart, but it kind of wasn't. Like, it still felt like she was slumming and doing like cutesy theater girl stuff.
Yeah, it's curating this brand, and I mean, listen, this is a movie, so like she's playing a character, but it all feels like part of her general, like,
well, there's a point where she is hooking up with the big bodybuilder chick, and she's like, you're not just like some straight girl, are you, that's playing around, and you're like, whoa, boy, there's like a lot of irony of this coming from Kristen Stewart in this role.
Yeah. You know, I just have trouble, I think, in general with this type of celebrity. They're all like, I feel like Kendrick Lamar needs to release diss tracks on all of them, not just Drake. Like, people who mythologize their past as a part of a brand, when really what they are industry nepo babies, or like just industry kids in general.
Yes, yeah.
They're all Drakes. They're that's all. And so I have a lot of trouble watching a Kristen Stewart movie. But this one, it was almost good, but then it just kind of,
it was like a like 25 to 30 minutes of like a very intriguing movie.
100%, and then it just stopped being anything in particular.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It felt like this is one of those that's supposed to be like, oh, you're supposed to feel as untethered as the characters do.
Yeah.
But like, that's really hard to pull off. And it wasn't that satisfying because they didn't feel all that tethered to start with.
Yes.
Right.
Like, you know, like they were.
Well, you couldn't be focused on the characters being untethered because you were noticing that the writing felt untethered.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
When something is clearly making it up while it's going along, I don't necessarily hate it, but if the way it decides to overcompensate for that is by going, well, this is art, then I hate it forever because I think art, because it's not art, it's bad. That's what I think.
All right.
I think it's not art, it's bad.
Yeah, it's
not,
I kind of...
It's not art, it's arf.
I'd have like to go with that.
Like a dog.
It definitely got to a point where it's like, yeah, we're making stuff up as we go along. And you're like, okay, well, it seems like everybody had fun, but I don't necessarily need to finish the rest of this movie.
You know what it could have used? A rewrite.
Yeah.
Like a get a studio guy who does like rewrites. Like get Tom Dean on this. You know what I mean?
It has a ton of threads that they just like don't tie off at the end.
Yeah.
There's a lot that like, it almost felt like they were world building to make like four of these, but that's clearly not the plan.
Yeah.
So
they world built like it was a pilot.
Yes. Yeah. No, that would make more sense to me if you were like, oh, this is a hour and a half long pilot for like a 10 episode crime series. Then I would say like, okay, they've set a lot of stuff up here and I don't know what's happening, but I know they're going to have more time to pay it off.
Right. 100%. Especially like given the ending, because like, or like not just the ending, but the beats of the acts, because everything is so unhuman, like the way in which, like, listen, you meet some girl and she's like, you know, the love of your life, and she's bodybuilder and whatnot, and then she like murders somebody, but not really for you, but for just because she felt bad, and then it doesn't turn into a movie about them hiding out together. Instead, it turns into a movie about her being like, oh, I'm scared of you. And like, it's just like the way that movie ends feels like the beginning of a series that I don't really want to watch, because I don't really know how we even got there.
Yeah, we don't know how we got there. I don't know what the rules of the universe are.
Yes, the act.
Yeah,
breaks.
Yeah.
And it doesn't end with Ed Harris dying, doesn't it just end with like,
no.
She puts the gun in his mouth after a giant 50-foot woman hulked out. She's going through Hulkamania and she's holding him down, and then Kristen Stewart puts a gun in his mouth and then is like, and now the police are here. And it's like, what? Why are you giving him over the like, she's a giant woman now at this point. Anything's possible, so just shoot him.
I think ultimately what I liked about this movie was also what frustrated me about it was that it's really good at subverting your expectations. Like, we're talking about these tropes of Bonnie and Clyde or Thelma and Louise or True Romance or whatever, where you like, okay, I've seen this kind of movie before. And this movie pretty consistently will like take a left turn
100%.
When you think you're going there. But it just kind of keeps doing that. And it all ends in like a place that feels like too... It doesn't make sense to end where it does.
Yes.
If all you have done is subvert expectations the whole way.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because what they've actually done is they're like, oh man, we're going to take a left turn here. You thought we were going to go one way? We're going the other. We're taking a left turn.
Right.
And now guess what? You think we're going to go away? We're taking another left turn. And then guess what? We're going to make another left turn. At some point, you've gone around in a circle and you've ended
right.
at the point at which you're like, well, yeah, I would have accepted something along this line, but as kind of the beginning of like act three, like
not
the ending of the movie.
Right.
Yeah. But you know, solid B+.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this is one of those movies that gets a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes because everybody who saw it was just like, okay, yeah, sure. I don't know.
I don't know. Will I get in trouble if I
My other theory is this is the movie for people who are like, all we get are reboots and sequels and comic book adaptations. Yeah. We want something different. And this is like, I think
it is different.
This is if you are somebody who's like, to go back to the old example of like, I miss going to Blockbuster Video and getting a movie that I had no idea what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like this movie will scratch that itch for
you. Yes, it will. Ways.
Yep. Much like going to Blockbuster, sometimes you get to the end of it and you're like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, you're like, you're still going to rewind it because you don't want to get in trouble. You know what I mean?
So true. So true.
That's a really deep thing I said. Just pretend that that ties in somehow.
That's what brings us all together. Yeah.
It's bringing us together because we're all rewinding a movie. I think that's been a pod. This room is getting very hot.
Yep. I think that's been a pod.
I think if I'm any hotter, I just don't think I'll survive this weekend. So, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the Frogcast and talking about movies and stuff.
Very fun.
Where can people find you?
Celebrity Hot Tub on various social media platforms. That's pretty much the easiest way. I'm not going to give you my home address.
Okay, that's good.
I'm not going to fall for that again.
Yeah, never again. And where are you doing the live show?
We're at the Portland, the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. We're doing them on Friday, and they're sold out. So if you want to come.
Oh, they're already sold out.
Too fucking bad.
Well, you missed your chance, people listening to this podcast. But still, follow Celebrity Hot Tub. Patreon.com/Frogcast, Frogcast@gmail.com. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right, everyone. Thanks again so much for listening. And until next time, good night and good chins.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.